This informative podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/science for a selection of science-backed, laboratory-tested superfoods and nutritional products. Thank you for your support. What is the Mandela Effect? I'm going to try to explain this to you without totally freaking you out too much. If you've never heard of the Mandela Effect, prepare to be freaked out. I'm going to try to explain to you the pop culture view of what this is and give you some examples so you can experience it for yourself. But just so you know, the pop culture explanation is that somehow our history has been changed, altered, like an alternate universe kind of alteration, and that all the memories, or many of the memories that you and I have as, you know, older than middle-aged adults, let's say, that our memories no longer match the official record of things that happened or lines from movies or the names of children's books and so on. I know it sounds totally off the wall. I didn't believe it at all at first either. Everybody that I've spoken to at first, they're like, this is stupid. What are you talking about? And then I give them these examples that I'm going to give you, and every one of them totally freaks out. So let me run these by you, okay? It's a little mental experiment, just a little thought experiment. Play along with me here. See if you get freaked out too. Again, the theory is that our history has been changed right out from under us, and our memories are now in disagreement with the things that we remember from the past. And what's weird is that all of us adults agree on our memories of things, and yet somehow all of us are wrong. Almost every single one of us. So let me give you some examples. Many of you might remember a very popular series of children's books. They're called the Berenstain Bears, or the Berenstain Bears. I don't know how it was pronounced. I wasn't a fan of those books. But many, many people today, older adults today, let's say, when they would read these books to their children, the Berenstain Bears, it was a very, very popular series, and they would read them, and they would read them over and over and over again, sometimes hundreds of times. And so there was a visual memory of the word Berenstain, and there was also an audible memory of the pronunciation of it, Berenstain Bears or Berenstain Bears. Again, I think it's Berenstain. Now, I want you to think about, how is Berenstain spelled? Because almost everyone, well, actually every single person that I've asked has said, for sure, it's Berenstain, Berenstain. And some people have said, yeah, it's a Jewish name. It's a Jewish name. It's Berenstain or Berenstain. That's it. Well, what if I told you that those books are no longer spelled that way and have never been spelled that way? In fact, they're spelled Berenstain, Stain. Now, when I've told people about this, they've said, no, 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 it's Berenstain. It's E-I-N. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. I would bet anything on it. I read those books to my daughter or my son, you know, 1,000 times. I know how it's spelled. It's E-I-N. And I'm telling you, it's not. It's A-I-N. And a lot of people just can't believe that. So you might think, well, okay, whatever. One example, maybe some of us somehow remembered that incorrectly. You got anything else, Mr. Health Ranger? You got other examples other than the Berenstain Bears? Yeah, we have a lot of examples. Tom Hanks in his movie Forrest Gump. What's the most famous line from the movie? It's the most memorable line. Everybody knows it. At least everybody sort of our age knows it. And it's, I mean, you can say it with me. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Right? That's the line. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. We remember that because it was a wonderful movie. We watched it over and over again. It was great. It was a philosophical tour de force of American history and relationships and everything. Well, what if I told you that that's not what he says in the movie now? He doesn't say life is like a box of chocolates. Instead, he says life was like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. You're probably scratching your head. What do you know? It's life is like a box of chocolates. Why would it be was? Well, I challenge you to go back and like find any DVD, any YouTube clip, any movie, Forrest Gump, watch it now, and he says life was like a box of chocolates. Which doesn't even make any sense, by the way, grammatically, because if you're saying, you know, if you're comparing things, that's called a simile, and you say A is like B, right? A is like B. Like your breath is like an alligator's crotch or whatever, you know, you're trying to play around with words. I say that to my dog sometimes. whatever. But a simile is A is like B. It's not A was like B. No one says that ever. And it also doesn't even agree with the tense of the rest of the sentence. You never know what you're gonna get really means you never know what you're going to get, which is like future tense. So why would you use past tense? Life was like a box of chocolates looking at the past. If you're going to follow that by saying you never know what you're going to get, i.e. in the future, that doesn't even make any sense. So the line wouldn't even work if it was life was like a box of chocolates. But that's the way the movie plays now. And so, the pop culture explanation for this, you find all over the internet now, is people saying, because of the Mandela effect, that now in, quote, this reality, Tom Hanks says the word was. But in the reality that all the rest of us remember, he said is. Okay? So, again, I'm describing this. I'm not endorsing the CERN multiverse, multidimensional theory here. Although we will talk about some weird stuff later. I'm just giving you some examples so you can experience this for yourself. Now, let's give you another example. Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars series, episode 5. It came out in, what about, 1983 or something in that range? Yeah, 83, something like that, right? So, the most famous line from the movie, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker battling it out with their lightsabers, Luke gets his arm cut off, and he and Darth Vader are there on that balcony inside that, was that the floating city? Yeah, pretty sure that was the floating city. And there's a famous line there. Darth Vader says to Luke, again, one of the most famous lines from the movie, we all remember it, Luke, I am your father, right? We remember this line, Luke, I am your father. James Earl Jones did the voice acting. But if you watch Star Wars Episode 5 today, he doesn't say that. Instead, he says, no, I am your father. Which is very different from Luke, I am your father. Now, you might think, well, somehow we all remembered it wrong. Or somehow maybe we all took shortcuts later on and we sort of condensed that conversation into Luke, I am your father. But as more and more examples of these things add up, it starts to become very strange that there's such a dissociation from the way we remember the world, we being sort of people our age. In fact, another movie that came out around that time, the original Terminator, 1984. I remember this movie very well because, you know, being a teenage male, the Terminator, you know, you can't find a cooler movie when you're a teenager. You know, you've got the sci-fi robots from the future movie. It's pretty awesome. So you watch it. You know, this is before the internet, okay? So you watch the movie 100 times. You memorize the entire freaking movie. This is what we did. Now, I know all the lines from the film, or at least at one time I did. I still know many of them. And I know how they were delivered. And I know that in 1984, the Terminator movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger has a very, very famous line, and it's become the subject of many, many jokes, where he's in the police station, and he's like in front of the security window, and the police guy is there not paying attention to him, writing with his pencil, scribbling very loudly with his pencil, not paying attention to the Terminator character who wants to see Sarah Connor, who's in the police station. And they have a short conversation there. And then the Arnold Schwarzenegger character says, with this accent, I'll be back. And that's what everybody remembers. I'll be back. Bach, like the composer. Everybody remembers that who's my age. I'll be Bach, because we used to joke about it. Yeah, I'll be Bach and you be Beethoven. You know, we used to joke around. It was so funny. It was endless jokes and puns about that line and the weird pronunciation, you know, the Austrian accent that Arnold brings to it. It's actually not weird. It's kind of endearing if you think about it. It was kind of fun. It was funny. It's like this Terminator speaks like an Austrian. So it was, I'll be Bach. Well, if you go back and listen to it now, he's not saying that. He's saying, with clear American pronunciation, I'll be back. Ah, ah, with the full ah. He's like, back. Almost like Chicago style. I'll be back. You know? No, okay, not that bad. But Arnold doesn't talk that way. And yet now the Terminator films have him saying, I'll be back. Now, at first when I heard that, I'm like, well, you know, Arnold just, maybe he just wanted to re-record it, correct the dialogue. Maybe he was embarrassed about his accent. But now I can't find an early copy of the movie where he says, I'll be back. So that's very strange. And it just adds to the weight of these examples that I'm mentioning. Another film about that time, Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner, one of his very famous early films, I think also in the mid-1980s or roughly around there. And there's a famous line from that film. You probably know it. If you build it, they will come. It's one of the most cited movie lines from the 1980s. It's like, I'll be back. If you build it, they will come. Well, apparently now that's been changed too somehow. Instead, now he says, if you build it, he will come. He will come. Talking about God or something, I don't know. He will come. That's not what we remember it being. And if you're listening to this and you're anywhere near my age, you're probably starting to nod in agreement with some of these examples that I'm mentioning, because it's very, very strange to have such a certainty about our memory of things, and then to find out that those memories, like, somehow either all of us are wrong, which seems incredibly unlikely, or somehow history was changed, which seems even more incredibly unlikely. Like, there's no explanation that makes any sense. That's why this is so intriguing and driving so many people nuts. And there are other examples too. For example, the Risky Business movie with Tom Cruise. This is a popular example. Now, what we all remember is that in the Risky Business movie, Tom Cruise slides out onto the wood floor singing Bob Seger's song, you know, old-time rock and roll, and he's in his underwear, and he's wearing like a white shirt with the collar. It's like a dress shirt. The collar's flipped up. He's got socks on, underwear, a white shirt, and he's wearing the Ray-Ban glasses, and he's singing and he's dancing, right? It's an iconic scene from the 1980s. Tom Cruise, Risky Business, Ray-Ban glasses. This is the movie that made Ray-Bans famous. Remember, there was no internet at the time. So you couldn't post something on Facebook and make it famous. But Tom Cruise could make it famous by dancing in his underwear and wearing glasses. Now, if you watch Risky Business, he's not wearing the glasses. They are not in that scene. Somehow. And the shirt, apparently, I haven't confirmed this yet, but I've been told the shirt is now pink instead of white, so I'm not sure about that one. But the glasses were, again, an iconic image of the 1980s in that scene, that dance, that song, and those glasses on Tom Cruise's face. Everybody remembers that. Just like they remember Berenstain Bears, and they remember I'll Be Back. And they remember Luke, I am your father. And they remember Build It and They Will Come. And they remember Life is Like a Box of Chocolates. And these are just a few of the many, many, many examples of things that appear to a great number of highly intelligent, highly respected, even scientific people that appear to have changed in the, like, the history to those people has somehow been altered. And again, this Mandela effect is happening to people who are not, they're not crazy, they're not using recreational drugs, they're not into mysticism or new age voodoo or dark magic or any weird stuff like that. Just regular everyday people, but also science people, very intelligent people, researchers, writers, journalists. Let's see. Another friend of mine is a doctor, a GP, a general practitioner. Let's see. Who else have I spoken to about this? Well, I'll tell you, one of my friends has spoken to over a dozen people about this and is freaking people out all over the place because they remember the same thing that I remember, which is what I'm describing to you. So somehow, this is what boggles the mind. Somehow, all of us who are very intelligent people and who are very observant people, and many of us are at the, you know, the top 1% of IQ and intelligence in the country. You know, we're not the C students in class, right? Many of us are, you know, very high academic scores. We did well in high school and in college and after that and so on. You know, some of them went to medical school and are practicing doctors and so on. Every one of us remembers things totally differently from what is now apparently real in this reality, so to speak. So that is the Mandela effect explained, and it is mind-boggling. Now, if you're under the age of 30, you're probably thinking, oh my God, all these old people are freaking nuts, and they're all going senile. None of them can remember anything anymore, and they're crazy on top of that. And, you know, when you're under 30, you automatically think everybody older than you is totally insane. That's part of being under 30. But the truth is, you're not old enough, perhaps, you know, according to this Mandela effect theory, you're not old enough to have had your history changed yet. That it seems like a lot of these changes are happening around the 1980s for some reason. It's like a lot of the movies, for example, and the children's books and so on, even the breakfast cereals and the corporate logos and so on, it seems like a lot of these changes are shifting from the 1980s era. So there's an interesting clue. Why are these changes only happening roughly around the 1980s, perhaps the early 1990s? There aren't groups of people who have remembered a song from, you know, 2005 who are suddenly saying, no, the lyrics have changed. But people are saying that about the 1980s. But I don't remember this happening to people who said that things changed in the 1960s. Is there a Mandela effect from the 1960s? I haven't heard of it. It seems like for some reason this phenomenon is focused around the 1980s time period for some weird reason. Now, getting into the possible explanations for this, there are really only two explanations as far as I can figure. You know, as a scientist, I'm an active scientist myself. I built a laboratory and I run it, and it's ISO accredited. It's called CWC Labs, and we actually have a time of flight machine that we jokingly called the time machine, and it has a flight tube in it where we send molecules back in time. that's what we tell each other, you know, kind of tongue in cheek. But, you know, I am an actual scientist, and so I'm used to thinking critically about things, and on this Mandela effect issue, there are really very likely only two possible explanations. The thing is, neither one of them makes any sense. So, explanation number one is that somehow our memories are like we've been tricked somehow, that we've tricked ourselves, or we've all told each other the wrong lines somehow from these films, or somehow we've been, you know, somehow our memories have been influenced or altered or engineered in some way that we have false memories, right? So that's one explanation. And I'll have a, there's a sub explanation under this that maybe in some cases things actually were altered. Like maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger went back and re-recorded his voice, just redubbed his lines so that he said, "I'll be back," instead of "Bach." So that's a possibility. I mean, George Lucas did go back and change Star Wars, for example, because, you know, Han Solo shot first. I'm telling you, he shot first, and Greedo deserved it. I think that was who he shot, the alien Greedo. I think it was Greedo. Anyway, Han Solo shot first, and then George Lucas became a pansified, pussified, pathetic wussy, and had to edit the film in a horrible way to make it look like Han Solo shot in self-defense. No, he didn't. He shot first, and Greedo deserved it. So, just a little Star Wars geekdom for you right there. Han Solo shot first. But there have been efforts to alter movies. So perhaps, for some reason, some of these lines have been altered in some way. I guess that's a you know, a reasonable explanation, perhaps, for some things. But not for lines like, "Luke, I am your father." Why would you change it to "No, I am your father"? And why would you change the grammar of "life is like a box of chocolates"? That doesn't make any sense. No one would want to change that. It doesn't even make sense after it's changed to the word "was." Now the grammar's all jacked up, and it gets an F in English composition class. So the other explanation in all of this, which is the truly bizarre one, is that somehow the universe is being altered, or that our consciousness is somehow being swept into, well, that we retain our consciousness of the reality that we grew up in, but somehow the reality that we are in now has been altered or shifted in some way. Now, this obviously is a totally out there kind of theory, and it's hard to give it any real credence. But as the pop culture explanation goes, scientists are screwing around with the God particles over at CERN. And they are. They are playing around with that kind of stuff. And yeah, they do have a Shiva goddess of death and destruction out in front of the CERN headquarters. I get that. And yeah, they do some kind of weird globalist rituals with like horns on their head dancing around like demons in front of the CERN super collider. Some kind of weird cosmic dark energy blessing ritual thing they do. That's all true, by the way. Doesn't mean they opened a portal to another universe, although I'm sure they're crazy enough to try it. We'd have to have a lot more evidence to provide any kind of convincing narrative of how running a super collider over in, you know, Switzerland or wherever it is somehow changing lines of Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump from the 1980s, I think. So it's a far-fetched thing, right? And, you know, we have to be rational people. We have to, if someone's going to tell us something that's totally crazy, you know, the burden of proof is on them to prove it. If it sounds so outlandish, they need to bring some evidence. You can't just blindly accept the most outlandish explanation. That's not a rational thought process. Nevertheless, there is a lot of discussion about the holographic nature of our universe, of how consciousness intersects with the apparent reality to, in effect, project our reality. There's been a lot of talk through high-level physics and quantum phenomena, as well as high-level philosophy, that talks about how there is no reality, it's just a projection of consciousness, and that we are, in fact, creating the world by observing it. And so there's an interplay between the observer and the experiment, and that the, I'm just throwing out some of the memes and themes here, that there are no electrons, that atomic elements are mostly empty space, that matter is an illusion, it's vibratory. Matter is really just vibratory illusions. It's just creating the illusion that it's taking up space, but it's not. You know, atomic elements are just different levels of illusions, and so on and so forth. I mean, high-level philosophy, physics, quantum computing, string theory, M theory, multiverse theory. You know, you can just go down the list. You can get into a lot of weird nooks and crannies when you're trying to explore the philosophy on this. Doesn't mean that that's why Darth Vader now says no instead of Luke. I just want to be on the record saying that, you know, you can't just leap at this stuff. There's got to be a lot more evidence before you draw some conclusion like that. So what we're left with, sadly, is the realization that the most likely explanation is that somehow our memories are totally warped. And that's a disturbing realization all by itself. Because if that's the case, then what does it mean? You know, who are we? Because our personality and our self-identity is intertwined with our memories. When we wake up each day, we sort of, our consciousness is teleported back into this world instead of the dream world that we were living in during the night, dreaming. Suddenly we wake up, and how do we know who we are? The answer is because we have memories. We have memories of who we are. We wake up, you're like, oh, I'm in my room and in my house. This is who I am. This is, you know, who my wife or husband is. This is the year. You know, I've got, let's say, three kids and this and that. And sort of your reality comes flooding back into your consciousness because you remember who you are. Well, what if your memories are so malleable that you can't trust them anymore? This is the question that's now coming to the forefront because of this Mandela effect. If the explanation is not involving CERN and physicists and teleportation or multidimensional parallel world reality shifting, then the other explanation is that our memories can't be trusted, right? That's the other explanation. And if our memories can't be trusted, how do you know that you are who you think you are? I'm not asking that in a comedic kind of joking way. I'm asking it in a very, very serious way. How do you know that you are who you think you are? What if you woke up one morning and you had someone else's memories? Then you wouldn't be you. How do you know that when you're asleep, that somehow your memories aren't being altered, or even when you're awake? How do you know you're not being hypnotized by, you know, fake news media, let's say, or some weird broadcast frequency somewhere? How do you know? I mean, if they can take away our memories of these, of Tom Cruise with the Ray-Bans and Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, I'll be Bach, and all these things, if they can swap out those memories somehow, then what else could be changed? What if your childhood is not the way you remember it? What if your friends from childhood are not the people you remember them to be? What is your connection with your past? It's only through your memories. And if those memories can't be trusted, then you can't trust anything that happened before the now. All you know for sure is that you are in the now and that you think, therefore, you are, right? I think, therefore, I am. This is the fundamental nugget of truth via consciousness. All you can really know for sure is that you think and therefore you exist. You can't trust your memories. And we already know you can't trust your perceptions because perceptions are filtered through the psychology of all your twisted little beliefs and twisted little filters and distortions. You can't trust what you see, what you hear, what you touch, what you feel, because none of that's actually real. You cannot directly experience the environment around you. Your brain filters it through your twisted psychology, which can't be trusted. So what is real? If your memories aren't real and your perceptions aren't real, what is real? See, that's the question that this comes down to. And this is why people are getting so freaked out about this. Well, at least those who are more deep thinkers, I would say. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. I know. You can curse me if you want. I didn't promise you I had an answer to all this. It's a new topic to me. I'm just starting to get introduced to the Mandela effect. But I know enough to raise some questions about it, and I will continue to ponder it. But I think ultimately, this is sort of a bridge to much deeper questions that might be very important for us to start to explore, scrutinize. Yeah, how do we know that anything is real? How do we know anything beyond the fact that we think and therefore we exist? How do we know we're not living in a matrix? You know, like in the movie, The Matrix. How do we know this isn't all a grand simulation? Many physicists believe it is. They think this is a software simulation. This whole universe, this whole world, they think the Big Bang was just sort of line one of the software program. You know, explode the universe. Make everything out of nothing, and then see what happens. They think the Big Bang, many scientists think the Big Bang was created by an advanced intelligence, a creator, or an alien civilization of some kind, a multidimensional race of advanced beings, that they drop Big Bangs all across the cosmos like little seeds of reality. And then they just watch and see what happens. And here we are, living out our little lives, meaningless little lives, I should add, in this massive reality of the Big Bang. And there's lots of Big Bangs. There's multiple universes all over the place. And every once in a while, there's a glitch in the matrix, right? They tweak it. Something, there's a little bug in the system. And all of a sudden, Arnold Schwarzenegger is saying back. See? That's the explanation. I know, it's kind of funny. But these are some of the possibilities that people are seriously considering. And how do you know that's not true? How do you know anything is real? The honest answer is, you can't. You don't. You don't know anything, and neither do I. All we know is that we have consciousness, therefore we exist. That's really the limit of what we can accept as absolute truth. Beyond that, it's just a bunch of fancy guessing. And perhaps on some issues, we're all guessing incorrectly. Who knows? All right, I'll leave you with that. Thanks for listening. Hope I've allowed you to get some good sleep tonight with that little thought experiment. Yeah, spread this like a virus to everyone you know, please, so you can disturb their minds in the same way that I've just disturbed yours. This is kind of a mental pandemic of freak out exercises. And yeah, your job is to now interfere with other people's lives in the way that I just interfered with yours. And that way we can all fracture all of our realities and no one will ever believe anything again. This is the whole point of this exercise, apparently. All right, it's the Mandela effect. Pass it on. See what happens. And if I wake up one day and someone tells me something like the Berlin Wall never came down, then I'm going to totally freak out. Or like some big historical event. It's like 9/11 never happened. What? The World Trade Center towers are still there. What? Okay, if something like that happens, then we're going to have a conference or something and figure out what the hell is going on at CERN or somewhere that's causing that, because that's an undeniable thing. I doubt that's ever going to happen, but if it did, that would be the ultimate freak out. All right, everybody, take care of yourself and keep reading naturalnews.com.
Click subscribe to stay plugged in to the Health Ranger Report.
When it comes to real science behind nutritional supplements and personal care products, even superfoods and nutrients, nobody pays as much attention to what's in your products as we do at healthrangerstore.com. We have an in-house laboratory, ISO accredited. We do mass spec testing for heavy metals, herbicides like glyphosate, bacteria, microbiology testing, including E. coli and salmonella, yeast and mold, and others. We do extensive testing, and we reject 80% of the raw materials lots that we test. And we only use the top 20% that pass our stringent requirements for ultra-clean food, supplements, personal care products, and green living home products like eco-friendly laundry detergent, body soaps, dishwasher detergent, things for your home, things for your body, things that are good for the environment and good for you, and that we can verify through our science, because our position is we don't trust any supplier of raw materials. We've been in this industry for long enough to know that there's all kinds of organic fraud, counterfeit certifications, fake claims, and just a lack of basic testing out there. Heavy metals inundate the supply of superfoods, and even organics, often will contain glyphosate and other toxic herbicides and pesticides. That's why we do this testing. We've learned not to trust any source in the industry, and that it takes determined, consistent testing to produce clean products. And that's why people shop with us. That's why we have over 100,000 customers at healthrangerstore.com who have come to trust us, to trust our lab testing, to know that we provide the world's cleanest foods, supplements, and superfoods using today's best science, the best, the most expensive scientific instruments in the world, triple quad mass spectrometry, ICP-MS for heavy metals analysis. We also have single quad mass specs and other instruments, time of flight, tandem mass spec time of flight instrument, and other things. To get our lab tested products, just go to healthrangerstore.com/science. That's healthrangerstore.com/science. There you'll find hundreds of products that have been laboratory tested, verified for your safety and efficacy and product honesty. Again, that URL, type it into your browser, is healthrangerstore.com/science. We do extensive testing like no one. No one does this, and especially not Amazon, where they sell products that are loaded with toxic lead and high levels of aluminum that are off the charts that you can't even believe. I mean, if you want to eat lead and aluminum, buy supplements from Amazon. But if you want good science-backed clean food and clean supplements, you get that from healthrangerstore.com. That's what people have come to know us for providing, and that's why people keep coming back to us. We are dedicated to this testing, and we continue to make investments in our laboratory facilities to bring you the cleanest, most verified nutritional products in the world. No one else does what we do. No one. We are leading the world in clean food, and you can take advantage of that right now at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I thank you for your support. There's much more to come. The more you support us, the more we can produce content to help educate the world and uplift people through natural solutions based on nutrition and superfoods, disease prevention, cognitive enhancement, anti-aging technology, and much more. Thank you for your support.